Lyrics of Lowly Life by Paul Laurence Dunbar. The Spellin' Bee. I never shall forget that night when Father hitched up Dobbin, and all us youngsters clambin' in and down the road went bobbin' to school, where we was kept at work in every kind of weather, but where that night a spellin' bee was callin' us together. 'Twas one of heaven's banner nights, the stars was all a-glitter, the moon was shinin' like the hand of God had just then lit her. The ground was white with spotless snow, the blast was sort of stingin', but underneath our roundabouts you bet our hearts was singin'. That spellin' bee had been the talk of many a precious moment. The youngsters all was wild to see just what the precious show meant. And we, whose years was in their teens, was little less desirous of gettin' to the meeting so's our sweethearts could admire us. So on we went, so anxious for to satisfy our mission, that Father had to box our ears to smother our ambition. But boxin' ears was too short work to hinder our arrivin'. He just turned round and smacked us all and kept right on a-drivin'. Well, soon the schoolhouse hove in sight, the winders beamin' brightly, the sound of talkin' reached our ears and voices laughin' lightly. It puffed us up so full and big it, I'll just bet a dollar, there wasn't a fellow there but felt the strain upon his collar. So down we jumped, and we went as sprightly as you make 'em. But something grabbed us by the knees and straight began to shake 'em. For once within that lighted room our feelings took a canter and scurried to the zero mark as quick as Tam O'Shanter. 'Cause there was crowds of people there, both sexes and all stations. It looked like all the town had come and brought all their relations. The first I saw was Nettie Gray. I thought that girl was dearer and gold, and when I got a chance, you bet I edged up near her. And Farmer Dobbs' girl was there, the one Jim is sweet on, and Cyrus Jones, and Mandy Smith, and Faith, and Patience Deaton. Then Parson Brown and Lawyer Jones were present all attention, and piles on piles of other folks too numerous to mention. The master rose and briefly said, "Good friends, dear Brother Crawford, to spur the pupils' minds along, a little prize is offered to him who spells the best tonight, or to maybe her, no tellin'. He offers as a just reward this precious work on spellin', a little blue-backed spellin' book with fancy scarlet trimmin'. We boys devoured it with our eyes, and so did the girls and women." He held it up where all could see, then on the table set it, and every speller in the house felt mortal bound to get it. At his command we fell in line, prepared to do our duty, outspell the rest and set him down and carry home the booty. 'Twas then the merry times began, the blunders and the laughing, the nudges and the nods and winks and stale good-natured chaffin. Old Uncle Hiram Dane was there, the closest man a-living, whose only bugbear seemed to be the dreadful fear a-given. His beard was long, his hair uncut, his clothes all bare and dingy. It wasn't 'cause the man was poor, but just so mortal stingy. And there he sought by Sally Riggs, a-smilin' and a-smirkin', and all his children left home a-diggin' and a-workin'. A widower he was, and Sal was thinkin' that she'd wing him. I reckon he was wonderin' what them rings of hers would bring him. And when the spellin' test commenced, he up and took his station, a-spellin' with the best of them to beat the very nation. And when he'd spell some youngster down, he'd turn to look at Sally and say that teaching nowadays can't be in no great valley. But true enough, the adage says, pride walks in slippery places, for soon a thing occurred that put a smile on all our faces. The laughter just kept rippling round, and teacher couldn't quell it, for when he give out charity, old Hiram couldn't spell it. But laughing's catching, and it throwed some others off their bases, and folks had missed the very word that seemed to fit their cases. Why, fickle little Jesse Lee come near the house upsettin' by putting in a double K to spell the word coquettin'. And when it come to Cyrus Jones, it tickled me all over, him settin' up to Mandy Smith and got set down on Lover. But Lawyer Jones, of all gone men, did surely look the gonest when he found out that he'd forgot to put the H in honest. And Parson Brown, whose sermons were too long for toleration, caused lots of smiles by missin' when they give out condensation. So one by one they give it up, the big words kept a-landin', till me and Nettie Gray was left the only ones a-standin'. And then my inward strife began, I guess my mind was petty. I did so want that spellin' book, but then to spell down Nettie, it just sort of went agin my grain, I somehow couldn't do it. And when I get a notion fixed, I'm great on stickin' to it. So when they give the next word out, I hadn't ought to tell it, but then 'twas all for Nettie's sake I missed so she could spell it. She spelt the word, then looked at me so lovin'-like and mellow. I tell you to send 100 pins a-shootin' through a feller. Of course, I had to stand the jokes and chaffing other fellas. But when they handed her the book, I vow I wasn't jealous. We sung a hymn, and Parson Brown dismissed us like he oughter, for la, he'd learned a thing or two and made his blessing shorter. 'Twas late and cold when we got out, but Nettie liked cold weather, and so did I, so we agreed we'd just walk home together. We both was silent, for of words we never had a surplus, till she spoke out quite sudden-like, "You missed that word on purpose." Well, I declared it frightened me. At first I tried denying, but Nettie, she just smiled and smiled. She knowed that I was lying. Says she, "That book is yourn by right." Says I, "It never could be." "Aye, you are." And there I stuck, and well she understood me. So we agreed that later on, when age had give us tether, we'd jine our lots and settle down to own that book together. The End of the Spellin' Bee, a poem by Paul Lawrence Dunbar. Read by Rick Kistner for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.